Today's scripture reading is from the book of Mark 14, verse 12, 22 through 25. It's on the back of your bulletin also. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and said, "Take this, my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So when our kids were little, we had special rituals at bedtime, I'm sure as many of you did. Rituals make children comfortable by repeating pleasant words and actions and reassuring them of the presence of goodness in their lives. At our house every night we read Goodnight Moon, Harold and the Purple Crayon, and The Hungry Caterpillar. You couldn't get by with just one story, it had to be all three. We did something we called tickle time, which we actually used to call torture, but then as Eric got older, we decided we could get into a lot of trouble if he went to school and told his teachers that he had been tortured by his parents the night before. So we changed it to tickle time. We explained to our kids that they needed 10 minutes of laughter every day to stay healthy. And I think, by the way, as we get older, that need only increases. So, lastly, we had that special bedtime prayer, and ours was a prayer that was taught to me by my mom. And that ended our nighttime ritual. Probably most of you can relate that sometimes the more ordinary the ritual, the better. And I think that's what Jesus was teaching when after the Passover meal, Jesus took ordinary bread and a cup of wine that had been sitting on the table. And he instructed the disciples that they would need to repeat his actions in remembrance of him. It was ordinary enough that all could be fed by this holy meal. Ordinary enough for any church to serve. Ordinary enough to remind us that like ordinary bread, we'd need Christ every single day, not just on special occasions. So after the Passover, when the disciples had been reminded of the freedom that God granted them, that they would grow to remember that the freedom was granted through another's suffering, that they could remember the one who suffered and died through broken bread and a cup that Jesus bore willingly, not without suffering, but Jesus bore willingly. Jesus knew that this new meal would be understood by the disciples after his death. Interesting, isn't it, that the first meal that is described in our holy scriptures begins with humanity reaching over their bounds and eating what was forbidden, right? And then Jesus comes and he changes everything. He says, "Everyone is welcome to eat at this meal." Jesus, in the tradition of the Passover, provided us a holy meal for us to remember a ritual that is the whole focus of our faith journey. This holy meal, this sacrament, is not something we do on the side. This is the whole experience of Christ that we're invited to join into. That includes suffering as well as resurrection. This Last Supper in the upper room required preparation and planning. And that's what the scriptures describe today. Jesus, the host, knew what was needed. And all four Gospels describe this holy meal taking place in an upper room. Jesus asked the disciples to go to this upper room to prepare. Now, there is a story that is not particularly well known in the Hebrew scriptures. It comes from 2 Kings. Elisha, the prophet, has been a guest in a Shunammite's household, and he was given a bed in an upper room while he stayed in that household. Later, after he had left, the woman's son, still a child, got sick and died. And the Shunammite woman raised her son and lifted him up and put him in the upper room on the bed that had been Elisha's. There the dead son lay until Elisha returned and Elisha raised that little boy from the dead in that upper room. You see, the upper room was associated with resurrection even before the Last Supper, even before the risen Christ appeared to the disciples, and even before the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost to empower the church. All of those things happening in the upper room. Well, this coming Wednesday night, our Bible study will display and discuss the elements of the Seder meal, that Passover meal that Jesus had just celebrated with his disciples. You can see the elements on your bulletin today. The Passover meal is deep with meaning about God's deliverance. There are bitter herbs dipped in salt water, reminder of tears that were shed during the harsh life of slavery in Egypt. There's a leg of lamb at the Passover meal, reminding of the blood that was smeared over the doorposts during the Passover. There are eggs on the table, a sign of hope and of new life. The Passover meal was eaten with their loins girded, sandals on their feet, and a staff in their hand. You see, this meal that was full of ritual intended to reassure the Hebrew people of God's presence and power. And the very fact of God's presence and power meant that one needed to be ready to move. One needed to be ready to take action. An ordinary meal in an upper room in the tradition of the Passover, whose blood was sprinkled over doorposts. One further aspect of the Last Supper that is essential for us to consider is that Jesus knew that the one who would betray him was present. And those who would deny him were present. Unconditional love and mercy granted by Jesus before his death, giving us cause to reflect even further on his full divinity at a time of great suffering, the great suffering that exposed his full humanity. So we come to the Lord's table to enter into that mystery, and not one of us is worthy to receive, and yet we all are to come, not for pardon only, but also for renewal. We come to the table to be renewed. We believe this holy meal is not simply remembrance, that this is the table where Christ is really present. We don't know how, but His presence here is real, and His presence here is what renews us. And as often as we can, we are to participate in this holy meal, to become stronger in our faith, to encounter Christ's mercy, which helps us to grow and live as free and hope-filled people. Here's the thing. It's almost as if Jesus knew there would be times of hopelessness, that the world would be challenging, that the church would flag and falter. And so Jesus gave two commands to His disciples in that upper room. Remember the thing about the basin and the towel? The filthy feet that Jesus watched, giving His first command, saying to the disciples, "If you don't let me wash you, you will take no part in my kingdom." God commands us to come before Him, to let God see our dirty parts, so that we can be washed clean. When you come to the altar railing this morning, I'm going to give you a few minutes to bring your dirty stuff to God. Lent is the time to pray and to confess. We will have a prayer of confession in every single worship service this season. We come to enter into the sacrifice of Christ at this table. And Psalm 51 tells us that the only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken and contrite heart. We need to put down our pride, set aside our denial, and let God's mercy wash over the dirt that's collecting in our lives. We need to change internally. You know, I've recently been blogging about my office renovation. You actually can see through to my office here in these two windows that have been blocked. You see, our interior lives need to change. And in fact, this could be the whole issue with the church today. We've forgotten that we are not what God intends us to be. And we don't want to suffer. But we are suffering. And we are in denial. You know, if you've been hurt, what are you doing to hang on to that hurt? What are you doing to let God heal that hurt, to transform that hurt, to transform our church? We must spend time in our interiors, walking amidst the clutter and the messiness. We must look at our interior for our exterior to change. Jesus, in that upper room, gave His first command, "Let me wash your feet, or you cannot enter my kingdom." Jesus' second command during that Last Supper was to take and eat. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. This is the answer God gives. Take and eat. It's that simple. From the most literal meaning of what it means to have a meal with others. Any everyday meal, those you trust and have close relationship with, as Jesus certainly did with those disciples in that upper room. Although, on that evening, Jesus extended the meaning of take and eat to include gathering at a table where you may not agree with everyone, to put yourself in the company of those who God loves, and yet those who may be hard for you to love. Jesus invited all to the table, indicated here by the variety of chairs we have seated at this table this morning. All are welcome at this table. I'd like to bring Irene's walker up to this table. I'd like to have a wheelchair at this table. All, I'd like to have an executive business board member's chair at this table. All are welcome at this table. To be one who takes and eats at this table is to be one who is chosen. It is to be the beloved of God. Taking and eating is about claiming God's victory over all death, destruction, and hopelessness. Taking and eating opens our lives to God's transforming grace. And in the transformation, we unite our lives with Christ. We unite our lives with Christ to become the bread that is given for the whole world. We become the given for those who need hope, those who need love, those who don't yet know they are chosen. Only Christ died so that we would be made whole. But if indeed Christ is alive, then we too die. Something in us must die, so that we can become a new creation. This holy meal, what the scriptures today called the Last Supper, is not the last. It is the first of the communion of the new creation. Today we conveyed our appreciation for those who have worked and participated with Rock Kitchen, and those who will continue to work and participate with Rock Kitchen, for those who have extended the table, offering God's mercy to those who are different, to those who are in need, to those who are beloved. You know, a famous actor once said that the saddest thing for him to watch was a person eating alone. For many, eating alone is a common experience. The Last Supper, the blood poured out for many, changed the Passover meal, transformed that Passover meal, which was for Israel, and opened it up to all people. That Jesus came and was sent into the world by God to be the Savior for the whole world. The desert tradition, the desert fathers, Abba Ephraim, when he was still a child, had a dream. And then after the dream, a vision. And in his vision, a branch of vine came out of his tongue and grew bigger and bigger and filled everything under heaven. It was laden with beautiful fruit, and all the birds of the air came to eat of the fruit of the vine. And the more they ate, the more the fruit increased. The more we gather at the Lord's table, the more we grow in grace. Amen. This table is a table that everyone is invited to. This morning, again, as you come before this table, I invite you, and we will take a few moments at the altar railings. If you're not able to kneel, you may stand, or you may pull one of these chairs out, and you may sit at one of these chairs to offer up your own prayer of confession before we partake together. But this is the Lord's table, and all of God's beloved are invited to participate at this table. This is the time in which we remember the grace that has been given to us, and in which the grace again flows into our lives so that we are sustained and strengthened.